Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Right now, there's actually a post right now where you can watch, you know, the World Trade Center anniversary memorial. It goes back and just looks, because today is 9/11. It's 11 years to the day.
Mm-hmm.
To the day. We want to remember, you know, what took place that day.
Sure.
And God let a few people know that was going to take place. Just a few. You probably can name the few.
Yeah.
And, of course, they told us afterwards.
Right.
You know, it's sort of like saying, you should have took a left back there. And it's like, kill him now. You know, it's like, kill him now. And so what we're trying to do, and what we're doing through VFN radio, is we want you to know now. I mean, you may or may not take the left, but you're going to know you should have taken the left. We're going to take, because God let a few people know back then. I remember, you know, Ken Summerall, Brother Ken, my spiritual father, you know, we were talking at the secret place, and he was talking about how upset he was that 9/11 happened, and it caught him by surprise because he was so used to God letting him know what's going on.
Right.
And mm-hmm. that particular thing caught so many people by surprise because we're all, as you know, President Bush said, you know, drunk on our success, mm-hmm. and all the greed and all the things that were going on, and it was a warning. It was a where God's pulling His hand back from us just momentarily. Well, now, so many people of the Lord are hearing a choir of what God is saying is going to happen, but it seems to be more paralysis now than there's ever been. And it's like, you know, we got to understand this is going. It's going to be. You know, in today of all the days, from what I understand, you know, one of the big, you know, web hosting sites, GoDaddy, mm-hmm. just went down. Right. It just went down for a couple hours yesterday, possibly.
Yeah, that was yesterday.
And
several hours.
And their biggest concern, we'll be talking about this tomorrow, is it's that, you know, you don't realize how virtual you are until you're not virtual anymore. You know, you don't.
I know that's
right. You're banking, and if somebody says, well, I don't trust these computers, so I call directly, and I tell them, you know, my information directly. But, sir, then they input what you're telling them into their online database.
That's right.
It's all. I mean, there was a day, you know, we believe in, you know, managing, you know, like the Franklin Covey system, value-based vision management that we talk about mm-hmm. all the time. You got to, mm-hmm. I mean, hopefully we'll make this available to you in the future. But it's available at any VFN church in America. You can go to any of the pastors there. But the all your information was written in a paper planner, like your, you know, contact information and mm-hmm. you know, diaries and appointments.
Rolodex.
Well, it wasn't a Rolodex. It was actually the planner, Franklin planner type
mm-hmm.
the thing. So you're carrying this thing with you where you go, and so then you would feel like, oh, I've lost my planner. I've lost everything, all my personal information.
Right. I would see my brain.
Like my address. Well, like my address or my social security number or my contact list, you know, and you were worried about that. And so the guy says, well, you know, I don't do that anymore because I'm scared I might lose it. So what I do is I enter all that information on an online database.
Right.
Your worst case, your best case scenario that you would have had a paper planner that you would have lost. But once you put your information online, and when you can, even if you call somebody and they put it online, you've lost it. I mean, it's out there, you know, and it's not one of our sponsors or anything, but you know, people like LifeLock, that's there for a reason, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to lock down and bring some sort of sanity until we realize that the Fourth Amendment for Americans has to apply to digital data, which means there has to be some sort. I mean, if China can have a digital wall, you know, we can actually have a constitutional digital wall that, you know, has a system of going over and coming back. And of course, the adversary wouldn't want us to have that. Mm-hmm. The greed of America wouldn't necessarily want to have that, you know, where people are saying that's going to stop my ability to do business with the world. Mm-hmm. But the Constitution hasn't stopped it before, the borders never stopped it before, why would a digital border, you know, stop us
right.
from, we just need to be right when we cross the border. We need to be constitutionally sound. mm-hmm. you know, and we're exporting something that is legal, you know, mm-hmm. and within our constitutional rights, and importing things that are legal and our constitutional rights. So why would a digital border? We've mm-hmm. got to and don't have to change the Constitution. We just have to understand what that means, because, mm-hmm. you know, y'all talked about this, I believe, on the last program, but we have a right for our information to be secure.
We sure do. Right.
You know, and not to be searched and all that. So anyway, that's available on the VFN Torch. You got to check it out. There's so many things available for you right there. We want to remember, you know, as I was watching, I had a chance to watch the CBS segment. If you missed this on 60 Minutes on Sunday, you see it online. That's where you see it. Go to cbsnews.com probably, and you can see this 60 Minutes segment where the Navy SEAL is being interviewed that wrote this book.
Right.
And when they went, it's just a beautiful depiction of, you know, what took place,
mm-hmm.
you know, and in regards to the wisdom and the might that God has given us, and the intelligence that God's given us, and the surgical procedure of our Navy SEALs.
Right.
And of all the things they could have said when they went to Pakistan, somebody else would say, and went in there in the dark of night, and got Osama bin Laden,
mm-hmm.
was they said, once they made the report, this is what they said, for God and country.
Mm. Wow.
This is beautiful, is it not?
Mm. Wow.
I mean, all the men and women that lost their lives when they were going to work that day in the Twin Towers. And John, you know the Twin Towers. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know,
I've been there.
Yeah,
I've been
in them. That's what mm-hmm. I'm talking about. And that could have been the day. You know, that could have been a day
sure.
that happened. And they've been working on it for quite some time. They tried before to do this.
They tried throwing a bomb. Yeah, there was the bomb, I believe it was in 1993 in Port Authority, and it didn't go off. In fact, my dad was actually working there at that time, I believe. And actually, that was a different time. There's so many attacks, actually. There's so many attacks that really went unreported. But I remember as a kid in middle school going with my dad to the World Trade Center, and oftentimes we see on the news, but
Sam was a broker.
Yeah, he was a broker for Shearson Lehman Brothers at the time. And they were housed, you know, their offices were in the World Trade Center. So I would go in with them to the World Trade Center. And you don't realize the magnitude of the size of these buildings. I mean, you know, no matter what part of the country we live in, we're familiar with tall buildings. But even for New York standard of tall skyscrapers, you really don't understand how huge they were. And to give you a picture, I remember being on before you walk into the building, the World Trade, I remember putting my shoulders by my hands on my dad's shoulder so I could lean back so I can see how tall they were. I mean, I was almost fell back. But to imagine that those buildings came crumbling down.
Well, it's like it's going to fall. It doesn't, when you look up, it looks like it's going to fall. It's like it's going, leaning over you, the building.
Oh,
does.
Yeah.
Such an
illusion. Well, I remember being all the way at the top. You know, when my dad was working, I'd escape and travel up and down the elevators and get lost. I mean, it was like for hours.
How many floors?
I don't remember how many floors, but it was like hundreds. I mean, I'd get lost in elevators.
You're not one of those kids that pushed all the buttons.
Man, I pushed buttons.
Oh, my God. You ever got stuck on that? I was like, this kid pushed 400 buttons. We're going to stop at every floor. Ding, 475. Ding, yeah, it's crazy.
Well, you're so high up there that you could actually see the other tower at certain times when the wind is blowing, or I guess, you know, you could see them swaying back and forth. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
And to think that, you know, they were hit, and to see them come crumbling down. I know, a VFN radio listener, Abe, you know, Abe has a friend that passed away who was trading stocks there. And my dad knew him as well. And it's just sad. It's just so sad to see what happened during that time period. And you, like you said, you know, so many people were shocked. So many people were unaware. And they never could imagine that America could actually be hit on our soil. There was no grid for that. There was no grid that we could be attacked on our own soil using our own planes.
And the thing about it, from what God has been warning us, and you go to the VFN Torch and look at prophetic warnings, that is that is, if we as the church, not as people who are not the church, not mm-hmm. people who do not claim to follow God, we're talking about those who say they know him and say they're his,
mm-hmm.
that if we don't fully turn back to him,
mm.
what we've seen on that one day is minor
mm.
compared to what's going to take place. And
yeah.
And I will talk more about that in the second hour or the extra hour today, you know, what the Lord has shared with me why I was away. But, you know, 9/11, it wasn't then it was. I mean, that's the whole
right.
point. You know, it's like it's not until it is. And so there is, like you said, no grid. But now we have a grid. And I remember watching it. You're looking, you just mesmerize as you're watching the newscasts, you know, and mm-hmm. You can go to the VFN Torch and look at WTC, it stands for World Trade Center 9/11 Anniversary Memorials. It's the number one mm-hmm. top on the Torch right now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on it and watch it. We need to remember this. It's one thing Israel's mm-hmm. very good about, and I just really believe it's been since about 1902 or something that, you know, some atheists got into our country and began to infiltrate us to cause us to begin to forget, you mm-hmm. know, where we came from, what happened. And it's also, we become a forgetful people. You know, if a tragedy happens, they throw a sheet over it and say, we don't want to see that. That's bad.
Right.
You know, or if war happens, you know, our memorials are not the tragedy of war, mm-hmm. but the remembrance of those who were in it. We go to Israel and they have the Holocaust Museum of the tragedies.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Of that, and you're like in Anne Frank's diary, and you're seeing it, and so because of that, you are aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
They have a tank sitting on the side of the road from like 1967 war, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
The buildings, remember Pat, the buildings up north, they were mm-hmm. still shot up, you know,
yeah.
from when they came in from that particular battle, and it's mm-hmm. like we cover everything up in a hurry, you
right.
know, and. And because of that, you know, if we don't remember,
mm-hmm.
you know, we will remember.
That's right.
Because we'll experience that again. And they were going to work. They were going to work that day, you know, catching the bus, catching the subway, you know, going, you know, coming out of that one sub. Imagine how many of them came out of that one subway tunnel that comes out right down there in that district, right in the center of the district.
That's Holland Tunnel coming out there, you know.
But remember the subway tunnel that comes
there? Oh, the subway, yeah.
Yeah, and that, I mean, imagine how many lost their lives that came out of that tunnel that day.
Yeah, you're right, because it's so close.
It's right there. I mean, it's just right yeah. smack dab there. And little did they know that that was going to be their last day.
Mm.
You know, and and then, of course, the things that we saw that happened where God just, you know, delayed their showing up to work, and one guy's shoes, he had to go back and change his shoes, and some people,
yeah.
you know, for whatever reason, had to go pick somebody up and didn't go. I mean, it does microseconds. And then
sure.
you look at these firefighters and these police officers and their tenacity to go in to where people were running from. You know, I can kind of relate to that as a law enforcement officer. When people were headed north, as a law enforcement officer, we were headed south, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And understanding that they went in. They went into those mm-hmm. towers, that how tall they are. I mean, it's kind of hard to unless you've
sure.
been these tall buildings like you're talking about, that it's just you're walking down up a death tunnel, that the only way out is back where you came from. There's no, like, emergency exit. You know, you've got to go straight back down again. And they went in.
Yeah.
And they're reasoning and talking with people and all these emotions, and people are jumping out of the, you know, escaping from the fire,
mm-hmm.
and a human body of, you know, 150, 200 pounds is coming down from all these floors mm. that are wrapped away, where people, from what I understand, some people died from a bodies where they were coming out of the building, where they made it out, where a body fell on top of them, you know, a 200-pound
yeah.
weight lands right on top of you. And it's like, America, this is a tragedy. This is horrific. And we need to wake up. This can happen like we didn't have a grid for that. We don't have a grid for what's about to happen to us if we don't repent. Our president, the leader of our country, just was a partner to removing God from the platform of his party, and Israel as the capital, Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and Hamas as the enemy of Israel, which is the Muslim Brotherhood's militant arm they keep a separation from, but that's their arm, and that's who's coming against Syria. Mm. And Syria, watch Syria. We're going to talk about this in the extra hour. Watch Syria. And I really believe that's going to be the first rapid domino, you know, yeah, that this puppy's going over. And our mm-hmm. president just made the statement that, and so did our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, that telling Israel that if you attack Iran to defend yourself, you have to understand, you know, to live and not die, they have a right sure. to live, then you are on your own. Mm. Mm. They told Israel, you're on your mm. own. You yeah. know, while he's bowing down to the king of Jordan, he sure. looks like he's thumping the prime minister of Israel in the chest. You can see this on the yeah. VFN torch.
In fact, Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, saying that, you know, we believe, speaking for the United States, that there is more time for diplomacy to work. And she admittedly says, well, you know, we understand that Israel's in the heart of it and they don't believe that. I'm like, well, yeah, hello. They have, you know, weapons aimed towards us, not towards yeah. you. There is no, if the finger was on the other, if it was the other way around, you'd see this as imminent as well.
Right.
So what's up with that?
But they just don't care about Israel.
Exactly.
And we as the church, listen, we have to care. You got to tune into this extra hour. We're going to talk more about this. We're just barely touching this. But we want to remember, you know, remember those that have fallen 9/11, including all of our soldiers who gave their life. Yes. To defend America, and the Navy SEALs who they're trying to suppress now with the truth mm-hmm. of what took place in Pakistan as they went in. And this, they talk about this one lady intelligence officer. You got to see it at CBSNews.com. But she knew everything. She told the SEALs every single thing that was going on. They were so surprised. 100% of what she told them was true, and she's been working for years. And when she came back with the body to Afghanistan, that she's in tears because finally her quest to bring justice and her intelligence that she gathered, it all came to pass, because every corner they turned, every room they went to, every person they saw, even to the point that Osama's brother lived on the second floor before they got to the third floor, and he stuck his head out from around the corner, and he went back, and they didn't know who it was. And so wow. they said they got to find out who it was because they could go to the third floor, and they just called his name out. And so he stuck his head back around, and that's when they took him out before they went up. I mean, everything she said, it was amazing. We need to thank God for that and pray wow. for our Navy SEALs. Man, if you missed that first hour, you need to hear the things that were covered in it as we were talking about, you know, 9/11, and we got to remember this. We have to remember it. And God is about being remembering the things and the things that he delivered us from and how he's protected us. The fact that, you know, 9/11 happened then, but it hasn't happened since. And we can say, oh, it's our strength that has kept
right.
us. Oh, it's
right.
it's our
intelligence, our military.
Yeah, what do you call the guys that pat you down and x-ray you and check your DNA?
TSA.
TSA. You know? And
Homeland Security.
Yeah, Homeland Security. It's like, what are you going to do with that x-ray? Is that going to be on the internet?
Exactly. Well, I told them, listen, yeah. when I flew down to see you guys, that's when I told them, I said, listen, I know you're going to screen this. I know that. I do not want to see, you know, this on the internet. They laughed at me. Oh, you know,
it's on the VFN torch. We got.
Oh, jeez. She laughed at me. Said, oh, don't worry, sir. Don't worry, sir. This picture will not get out.
Oh, so you got x-rayed instead of pat down.
Oh, I got they put you in a whole like Star Trek-y thing, man.
Well, you know, Jersey, you know.
It's crazy, man. Newark Airport. You better watch out.
Well, yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah.
I'm the Kool-Aid man. I'm still going to pat you down, man. I'm going to pat you down. I think police officers pat each other down nowadays, like, make sure there's nothing coming, you know. I'm telling you, you know, that is it our security mm. or is it God showed us that he can keep this from happening? Was that mm. just a peek at what mm. could happen if God removed his hedge? Mm-hmm. And it's like when Katrina hit, you know, when we were part of the Gulf Coast where five hurricanes hit. And we were coming, I think, Pat, you and I were coming from probably Birmingham or something when everybody was heading north. Yeah, yeah. They were running like Highway 65, right? They're going like, it's Hurricane Ivan's coming, and they're all leaving and leaving. And we're it was just us and a whole parade full of police officers and emergency vehicles going south. It's like, what's wrong with this picture? Something wrong. And we had, there was no traffic. I mean, anybody that was going in our direction was traveling at excessive speeds to get down to rescue people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were getting back for the women and the children.
Right.
We want to be there for the women and the children. And Hurricane Ivan was coming, but we didn't know, you know, how big it was going to be. But it obviously was not good when everybody was running north. They were going south.
I know, that's right.
And so we go through Hurricane Ivan, you know, and that's sort of like that we talked about in the first segment, the country preacher that when he first started, he said, I thought I was ignorant, but since I've been in doing it for quite some time, I've become ignorant and ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you think you have hurricanes figured out, and then you go through something like Ivan and you go, that was ignorant. We should have went north. You
that
know?
Was just stupid.
Oh, that was just stupid. Oh, really? Speaking of that, let me just tell you, you know, and so, you know, here we are, actually Pat, in this family and my family,
we're hunkering down.
Is that what the word is? I was watching his lips. I was like, oh, that's almost a Southern word. He signed it. I interpreted it.
Was it hunkering or bunkering?
Reading his teeth. Hunkering down.
Is hunkering different than bunkering?
It was sort of like a tournament. The
tournament while we were wrestling.
Right. And so we were in this home that we thought was built well, and it has a 12-foot glass door, 12-foot, like, you know, three different segments, maybe 4-foot segments, I guess. And the storm is hitting, and this Hurricane Ivan's hitting, and you just hear this pop, crack, squeal, but then you're thinking, you know, we got some boards up and different things like that. It's like, that's going to work. And so you hear some noise taking place, you know, in the garage. And so we have a car in the garage, and we backed it up to the inside of the garage door. The bumper was going to touch the inside of the garage door. And then we had a car outside the garage and backed it all the way up where we pinched the garage door between two cars.
Right.
To kind of hold it in place. And so you hear this noise going. You hear this noise going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so we open the garage door from the inside to look, see what's going on. It was like, kaboom! I mean, everything just went smashing down over top of the car that was in there. It was sucked. It's like some sort of vacuum just sucked the entire, you know, ceiling and everything with the contents, bam, on top of the car. We slammed the door shut. And then we're looking at these 12-foot glass door. And this 12-foot glass door, it's glass.
The sliding door?
Yeah, but it's a sliding door with two, you know, permanent panes in it, and it's 12-foot, you know, long altogether. But glass breaks; you don't bend glass.
Right.
But this thing was bowing like acrylic. It was like any moment this puppy's gonna pop, and it had boards on the outside of it.
Wow! Mm-hmm.
And so, and then we look, you know, at the offices, you know, within the offices, and we find out, oh my goodness, that part of the vent had blown out, and all of that equipment, all the, you know, expensive equipments and all that stuff is going to get wet. And so Pat and I are going to go, you know, rescue all the gear and all the different stuff. And so we go out in gale force, 100-mile wind.
We're running on a ladder.
No, we went, didn't we do it come inside?
No.
We went, oh my goodness.
On a ladder
goodness.
On the outside.
No, we went inside and up. We would have been, because the tree blew over our head.
Okay, yeah, we just nailed it from the inside.
Yeah, we were ignorant on the inside. And so we climb up in the attic, and the wind's blowing through this big hole now because the vent's blown out. The vent's probably about maybe 2 foot by 1.5 foot or something. It's just huge. And so Pat has this board, and he's going to push this board up against and nail it on the inside. But you can't do it because the wind is so strong; it's pushing him back like a sail. So I had to put my back against the truss, and take my feet and put them on Pat's back.
Wow.
And then I was pressing, like your leg pressing, Pat, as Pat's holding this board, and I was pressing, getting him closer to the thing. It's like,
you're gonna shove me out the hole.
Yeah, so I'm shoving him in the hole. You know, they're gonna save the equipment. This is important.
Flying in the air.
Yeah, and so. And it took all of that just to get the board against the hole where he could start nailing it. And, you know, roofs are being ripped off around us. And it's like we're in an attic. Like, it's like ignorant. And so then we did. I mean, we're actually using some equipment today that was spared because of that. It was. Mm-hmm. And we get it all, you know, covered with Visqueen and all that, and God spared it. And we go back, and when we're headed back, something breaks off, like a big, huge piece of, like, privacy-type fence breaks off and flies over our head. It flies over our head, and then a big tree breaks off, like, flies over our head. And it's in dark, you know, it's the dark. And so we find out the next day that tornadoes came right through and just kind of cut off all the tops of the trees. Mm-hmm. At the top, like giving it like a haircut across the top. Mm-hmm. And man, God spared us. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he looked down like, look at those ignorant men.
Ignorant
men. You know, and that it was horrific. But then, you know, after Hurricane Ivan, then Katrina came.
Yeah.
You know, we were like the poster child for help. And people were coming to rescue us. They were bringing MRIs to us. Mm-hmm. No, MRIs. Bringing
MREs.
Magnetic resonating imaging systems. No, MREs, right? Meals ready to eat.
I remember, I told. I was wondering about the MRIs. Yeah, right.
Dude, this huge MRI was delivered at my house, you know.
Well, you were hunkering and the MRIs came in?
I was hunkering. No, that's... Anyway, so... And so I remember I was telling... You just don't know how long this is going to last, by the way. And so I told Amber, and I told Jerry, because, you know, you have these MREs that we didn't understand. I didn't understand. You know, so we can't waste this food because we don't know how long. We had no power, no nothing. It just stopped. And I'm telling you, this is going to happen to America. We had, it was an early warning sign. And I looked at Amber and Jared, and I said, now, listen, you're going to have to, if you open that MRE, you're going to eat the whole thing. And they're, you know, they were listening to me, and they were like, look at, and it's like, MREs are meant for an entire day's ration. You know what I'm saying? But it was just a brick. You know, it was like a brick, but once you add water to it, it just grows and stuff. And bless their hearts, and eventually everybody was just busting them open for the M&Ms.
Yeah.
And they had a little Tabasco sauce. Yeah, all that stuff was in there. But all of a sudden, because of we couldn't get gas. I remember that we had curfew. Martial law was basically put in all in this area. And so they had military forces all over the place. Mm-hmm. They opened a gas station, for example, but it was only for the military. They surrounded it with armed Americans, you know, that said you can't. And we heard that one gas station was open. And we took off like a convoy because we weren't prepared for this. And we get there and find out it's surrounded by soldiers, and only the people who can get gas are the military. Yeah. And we had to book it back because there was a curfew. And it's like, but see, everybody was focusing on us because Ivan was so bad until Katrina happened. Mm. And once Katrina happened, it was like Ivan was a drip in the bucket.
Yeah.
And all the attention went to Katrina. They talk about Katrina. And let me tell you, that is the mindset of today. That so many things are going to begin to happen, and you can see this on the prophetic warnings on the VFN-TV Torch, that so many things are going to begin to happen. Even though this tragedy is bad, the next one is going to call the attention, and there's not enough MREs or MRIs to be able to give to us. Right. There's not enough soldiers to be able to do it, and so you have to prepare. You need to prepare, and one way to prepare, I mean, God's does not do anything unless he reveals it to his prophets first to tell us what's going on. You can go to VFNTV right now, VFNTV.com, and you can watch Prudent Preparation. You can watch Is America Under Judgment? You can listen and watch SOS, A Tale of Two Kings. What you saw at the Democratic National Convention was a fulfillment of the prophetic word called SOS, A Tale of Two Kings. The SOS stands for emergency. You know, save our ship, but it also stands for the message or the talk, the prophetic word is it's either going to be Samuel or it's going to be Saul. It's either going to be God's form of government or man's form of government. And what you saw right now with the argument in America right now is, can God take care of us or will government take care of us? And when the mayor of Los Angeles was the head of the DNC, he's the chairman, and he takes a vote, you know, and they're trying to push through and save, you know, their party, the impression of their party, of by bringing God and Israel back in there, that he says, all those that are for it say aye, those opposed say no,
nay,
or whatever it was, and they were kind of like equal or maybe more dominant than the other, and he did it twice. And finally, the lady walks up to her, and you got to understand this. This is how God works. She prophesied to America.
Yep.
She prophesied to America. She's on his right ear. And you understand, these are not Democrats. These are Americans. These are your brothers and sisters in that North Carolina?
Yeah, Charlotte.
We're not divided by parties. We're all Americans. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all Americans, and a large part of our American population, including our president, was part of that. So she, this lady prophesies, you know, to this nation. She says, it says, go ahead and give them what they want. Give them what they're asking for. You got to do it.
And let them vote.
You got to let them. Well, not only let them vote, but you got to let it go their way. You got whatever they say.
Right.
It's something like, you got to listen to it. It's like whatever they say. You can see this on the VFN TV Torch. You can type in DNC, you know, removes God and Israel. But that was very important, because at that moment, I wrote down the time, because I knew that was the moment that America shifted at that moment. And they began to, the three times, like the rooster crowing three times. You'll deny me three times, Peter. And the third time, the rooster will crow. And as soon as that third denial of God, you know, after she said, let them, it was almost like, Peter, remember Jesus told you this is going to happen. You're going to deny him three times. Like, okay, I'm not going to do it again. I only did it twice. I'm not going to do it again. And right in front of everybody in the whole world, they said, I never knew him. He's not relevant. Remember, Peter called down curses on himself. And then the rooster crows. And that's what you were looking at. You're looking at a moment where America, God does not see us as different races. He doesn't see us as different genders. He doesn't see us as different parties. You know, we've divided ourselves up in all these little things. You know, even the church is not seen as all these different divisions in the church. Was one church, and he sees us as one, and that was an American, you know, saying that the rooster crowed at that moment. That was it,
right?
And I wrote down that time in my spirit. That was the moment. It shifted, you know. Give them what they want. And that's what happened with Samuel. When Samuel was, and you could go to VFNTV and watch this at VFNTV.com, you know, and it's called SOS. You know, tell of two kings. The two kings are Samuel or Saul. Because what they were talking about was Israel was looking what everybody else had. And they were looking at other forms of government other than God's government. They were looking how they had kings and they had, you know, all these people. And so, you know, God says, and so they go to Samuel and say, listen, we want a king. And so Samuel begins to remorse and be sad, and God tells Samuel, says, listen, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me.
Yeah.
And he says exactly in a paraphrase way what this lady said. He said, give them what they asked for.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that. You know, I just recently saw something about the Holocaust in Germany and the Nazis, and it's called Hitler's Beneficiaries. And you wonder, How with all that evilness that happened, did the average German citizen go along with what happened with the killing of all these Jews and the confiscation of property and just shift? How did the average person just go along with all of this? And it was interesting what I read. What they were saying was that they were looking towards the Nazi government to supply everything. And so they were able to wink at what was happening to the Jewish people. Because their motto was that if anyone was going to go hungry, it wasn't going to be them. It wasn't going to be a German citizen. It was going to be the Jews. So they started confiscating all this property from the Jews. They were taking all this stuff away from them, and who was getting them were the citizens. And as long as they were being, you know, well taken care of, they were able to look at the other eye. They were looking all towards a government to supply everything for them. And it's just like, oh my goodness, they were going down. They closed their eyes to all of this.
But they crashed the economy first. They had to crash the economy, and that just leads me right into what the Lord was sharing with me on my time away. I was And so in that, you got to go to SOS. You got to go to VFNTV and watch SOS. Don't let it be a history lesson. Look at it now and begin to share it and let people know that we cannot choose Saul. And realize they chose a king. They didn't choose Saul. God chose Saul. But in the analogy and understanding, they chose a form of government other than God's form of government. And Chuck Pierce has said, and I see it myself, that America is locked, the Church of America is locked down by a religious spirit, and it's holding the church captive where we won't let go and let God's form of government kick in. And until that happens, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And God's form of government is where we hear from God and we do what he says, you know, in the format of the family. And so it's right now, so that when they begin to cry out for the government to be the one who defends them, the government, us, the government to be the one that gives me the right to sin. And it says a person, when a person rejects God, they're not rejecting God quite often because of him being God. They're rejecting God because of their sin. They want to sin. I think about there was this child's game, years ago, and it's still happening today. It's called Duck, Duck, Goose. You ever heard about Duck, Duck, mm-hmm. Goose? And you know, it's like, imagine all these young little nursery kids in a circle, and they're all facing into the circle, and this one kid would go around the outside of the circle and touch everybody on their head. Mm-hmm. And they would touch one kid, and they would go, duck. And they'd touch the next kid's head to that, next to that kid, kind of working their way around a circle, you know, for all the guys, like a distributor gap. It's like tick, 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 tick. But, they go duck, 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 duck. And as soon as they said goose, that would be the person's head they touched. And that person would be the one they chose. And then they would chase the person who just said goose to them and try to catch them before they made it back to their place in the circle. So it's called duck, duck, goose.
Mm-hmm.
But I think about it, but the Lord spoke to me when I was away. And this is part of what's going on. And if you need to hear the word about Josiah, go to VFN TV and watch, you know, we are Josiah, and you need to hear that word. But when you think about it, the reason why God would not turn away from what he's about to do to Israel during a time of judgment was because of all the innocent blood that's been shed. Not all the other sins that people point out, but it's the innocent blood that's being shed. I mean, if that blood wasn't shed, he would have forgiven everything else. But the innocent blood cries out. I mean, if Abel's blood cries out today. And so the Lord showed me this picture. He showed me this picture of this lady. He showed me the picture of this lady in my spirit. And she was standing there just having this great time with this baby. Mm-hmm. You know, she's looking at this baby in this baby's face, and there's this joy's on her, mm-hmm. right? But then he showed me three other pictures of her babies that she chose not to have.
Mm.
And, you know, one was a baby that was aborted by saline and the skin was burned. And then he showed me a baby where the baby was dismembered. Then he showed me one where the baby just died, you know, because of the abortion. But then he showed me the lady holding the baby. And so the first three babies was like duck, 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 goose. I choose you. And she doesn't think anything about it. She makes demands at the Democratic National Convention, and she says, it's okay for me to kill my children. It's okay for me to abort these children and to shed innocent blood. But the children are saying, why am I goose and my brothers and my sisters ducks? Why did you not choose me and you chose this one? And ultimately, this is the biggest, most horrific thing, is why are you not horrified at your three children, the first three? Listen, God forgives us, but we first have to understand what we did was horrifically wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We have to answer for the innocent bloodshed. We have to answer for that. And my biggest concern, and when I was away, the Lord's beginning to show me that. And that's when you find about when God was talking to Josiah, and Josiah was you just got to hear it. You got to go to VFNTV and understand it. We are Josiah, and we can do something about it as kings in the kingdom of God, but also as kings with that kind of authority in America. If we respond like Josiah responded, you got to hear this. That I was in this parking lot, and I was about to park my vehicle, and all of a sudden, the Lord just overtook me and overtook my spirit. And do you remember the time, you know, we had this particular seminar going on, and I think it was maybe you and Chris, I think, afterwards, and God was just stirring my spirit. And I'm like, I don't know what it is. It's like, something's wrong, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
And so I lay down that night, and I'm just kind of laying there wide awake, and God gives me a vision, kind of like a drision like Chris has. You know, I don't know if I'm in the sleep or awake. And with that, I saw all this, what was going on in these particular people's lives. You know, God was showing me what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And to the T, to the T, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and God would begin to say over a period of time, he says, listen, what I'm doing is holy, and you're dealing with human beings, and it has to be holy.
Right.
And so in that moment, I'm spending that time, you know, just pausing, turning off all the digital forms of communication, just listening. And all of a sudden he just overtakes me, and I'm just stuck in this holding zone of I can't even describe it. You know, it wasn't the anxious feeling. It was just like, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. Almost like you're looking at 9/11 taking place, that type of thing. I'm not seeing visions of that at that point, mm-hmm. but it's just like when you're looking at that, it's like, it's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the next part of that was, you know, brace yourself. You know, think about David Wilkerson, and, you know, God spared him from having to see what he prophesied about for years. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to speak to the cities in our nation. Listen. When you look how God deals with a nation, he'll deal with the cities and what they've decided. And I think about the horrificness of L.A. and you know, how they've turned in San Francisco and New York City with the mayor of New York City, who is just antithesis of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to brace yourself. And you can go to VFNTV and listen to prudent preparation. You got to get your feet settled. You know, I was talking about in the first hour about, you know, my trainer that worked with me, Andrew, and he wasn't bigger than me, but he knew how to stand in a way, and he was trying to teach me how to have core strength, that inner core strength that, you know, he was playing soccer type situations, which is a great cardio, you know, thing. And it was amazing that I could push him and pull at him, but it was just like he was nailed to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had in his natural self, he had inner core strength. He worked on his core strength. And core strength is not a lot of fun to work on because you don't get to see all these, you know, like abs and biceps. And I'm trying to look to see what Pat's got going on over here. You know, you know what I'm saying? You like to see... If you're working out, you'd like to see results.
Sure.
But core strength, you don't get a chance to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see it when something happens to you. You can see it when somebody tries to push you over. You can see it when somebody tries to pull at you. I mean, you have core strength will keep you on spot. And the church has no core strength. Most of the church has no core strength. Because we've been focusing on the outside of the cup and not the inside of the cup. So whatever you perceive is going to hold you steady is nothing but an anchor to you in a deep sea if you don't work on your core strength. And if you have not yet went and watched what we're talking about on VFN TV, you're not even thinking about core strength. I was listening, John, to the statistic of George Barnard that you were talking about where it says only 3%, is that right, of the church survey was even concerned about their core strength, their heart strength.
Yeah.
3%, which is interesting that that's equivalent to the same percentage of the church that actually gives God, honors him with his tithes and offerings. Which also means where your treasure is, there your heart is also, your core strength. And it's like, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to begin to work on your core strength, and you can do that through your abiding relationship with God. Listen, if you haven't been doing it and you've been hanging around people who call themselves a believer, just go to iabide.org and just begin. You don't have time to convince anybody. You know, you have got to answer for yourself. And if you have a core strength, realize that in the natural sense, like the comparison to my trainer, Andrew, I was able to say, you know, about I could have held on to him. I mean, he was so stable and steady that his steadiness, that he could have been somebody I could have stood around in a storm, for example, or a rough situation. And maybe you can be that pillar in somebody's life. Maybe you can be that pillar in your family's life. Maybe you can be that one that they're all over the map, but you're being steady. You're being stable. And you can do that when you put you plant your feet on the rock, Jesus Christ, not on the religious rock, not on the American gospel rock, but on Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know, he says in this life you will have storms, but cheer up, I've overcome this life. And if you are trying to fight for this life, your rock, your foundation is not on Jesus, because you're worried about what's happening in this life. But if you realize things come and things go, but God stands and you're with him, then everything's cool with that. But he says, listen, if you build your house on a sand, if you build it on the sand, I remember after Hurricane Ivan, I was going out on the beach with Jared, and Jared was younger then, and we're going on a Pensacola beach area, which is an island made from sand, and so many houses were blown away, you know, and I looked at Jared as we're looking at all this different stuff, and I said, Jared, you know, what comes to mind when you see this? And this young kid goes, don't build your house on the sand. And so many people right now have everything built on a hope and a dream called sand instead of a solid rock. He says, those that build it on sand, he says, the storm will come and the floods will come. And that's what we want to talk about, that the floods will come. And when they come, you'll be destroyed. It'll all just be washed away. Everything will be gone. And if you build your house on the rock, and Jesus is the rock, he's not a theory, he's God. He's access to the Father. He's the only way to God. He's where we find salvation. That, and it means following his ways, those who are doer of his word, not just hearers only and deceiving themselves, but they're actually doers of the word. That's what he's talking about. That's how you build your life on Jesus, by becoming his disciple. You don't build it by showing up every Sunday at a place and singing a song or listen to somebody sing a song. You're a doer of the word of God. And he says, so when the flood comes in and when the winds and all that comes in and crashes against it, you stand because you built your house on a rock, which means this. Listen, you can stand in this tidal wave that's coming. And that's what I want to share. When we come back in just a moment, I want to share with you, you know, in brief, what the Lord just downloaded to me. And it's going to let you know what you need to do. We'll be right back.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.